Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When your father tells you to do something, you do it. Probably all of us might have heard something like that from our father or from our parents while we were growing up. But we probably all would also say that, would raise our hands and say we didn't always listen to our parents, especially not the first time that they told us to do something. I had to be careful sharing this story in the first service because my dad was actually there. But I can remember being 5 years old. It was 1989 and we were living in San Ramon, California. And me and my brother Mikey, we were playing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the Nintendo, and we were pretty into it. And I can remember hearing my dad's voice saying, "Hey guys, get over here, come to the living room." And since me and Mikey were, you know, perfect kids, of course we listened on the very first time. Except we weren't, so we didn't listen. We said, "Dad, we're playing Nintendo." So Dad spoke up a little louder and said, "Turn that off and get in the living room now." Well, the second time, we still didn't listen to Dad. We said, "But Dad, we're really far in this game. You know, we'll be there in a second." Well, the third time, I heard my dad's voice. This time, it was even louder and more serious than I had heard it before. He said, "Guys, turn that off. Get in here now." Well, the third time, as we tried to plead our case, "But Dad, we're really far into this game." By that time, Dad was coming into the room, and he had a face that told me if we didn't turn it off, that Nintendo might go through the wall. And we go into the living room with him, and what I didn't know is my dad had been watching the World Series on TV. The Giants versus the A's, and of course that game was interrupted due to an earthquake. And because we were living in a suburb of San Francisco, he quickly went to go get my baby brother. And he was yelling at us to get in the living room. I didn't realize we were so into our game, didn't even notice that an earthquake was going on. It wasn't until we got in the living room that I saw the chandelier was swinging back and forth. The pool outside was going crazy. My dad was telling me to shut off that game, not because he wanted to end our fun, but because he wanted us to come to safety. Now, isn't that how we are with our Heavenly Father and His commands? That we might often ignore His words to us. Isn't that how most of our world lives? That they are so focused on their daily lives, so focused on the things that need to get done, that they ignore God's voice. They ignore His call saying, "Come to me, believe in me, believe in my Son." Well, just as God sent the angel Gabriel to be His messenger, to be His voice announcing the birth of Jesus to Mary, which we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to Him the throne of His father David. And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end." Yes, the Lord God commanded Gabriel to go and make that announcement and proclaim and be God's messenger. And as Pastor Eric said, in the same way, God also calls us to go and be His messengers. To go and proclaim that good news that the Messiah has come, that Jesus was born. He truly was Emmanuel, God with us, and He went to the cross and He gave His very life so that we might live. Yes, God has given us the call to be the Father's voice, proclaiming the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. How amazing that we get to be in that same role as His very angels. But we know this command, this call that God has given us, is an urgent call. We see that in Romans chapter 10. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Yes, the Lord has given us this command, this call to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching to obey all that the Lord has commanded. We are blessed to be a part of this work. We are blessed that we get to join with the church and the millions who've gone before us, going into every corner of this earth trying to proclaim that very news of salvation. I want to share with you just a little of how that message being proclaimed in Ukraine is making a difference. I'm blessed to work with God's Hidden Treasures, an organization that's been helping people with special needs, helping the forgotten people of Ukraine for almost 23 years now. We've been able to give over 6,000 wheelchairs and other mobility aids across the country of Ukraine. Every one of those wheelchairs is brought into somebody's home that we get to see them and get to know them personally to make sure it fits them, to pray with them, to offer them a Ukrainian Bible. And it's always our hope that the wheelchair just gets us in the door and begins our relationship with these families, that we can bring this hope of Jesus Christ and this good news into their lives. That hope would make a difference for them. Many of those 6,000 homes that we've been to were homes of children. Children like Sergei. Now those who have been to Ukraine and with the sending place, they all know Sergei and see what an incredible young man he is. But they weren't there, and I wasn't even there yet back in 2004 when we first met Sergei. Sergei had an operation on a tumor on his spine that left him paralyzed from the waist down. When we met him and got him a wheelchair, we found out he had not even been outside his apartment for over 2 years. And the reason he hadn't left is because he was simply too ashamed. In the Soviet Union, it was very much the culture to say that if you were born with a disability, well, God must be punishing your parents or God must be punishing your family for something they did. Sergei felt this shame. In fact, he felt it so much that even when people would come to visit his house, he would ask his mom to hide the wheelchair on the balcony. He didn't want even the wheelchair to be seen. If we had just given a wheelchair and left, that wouldn't have done much good for Sergei. But thankfully, as we got to see him and got to know him, we invited him to come to this first camp we were doing for children with special needs. And Sergei got to spend a whole week with a team of crazy Americans coming over and singing fun songs and pouring out the love of Jesus. Getting to spend a week with other kids just like him. And by the end of the week, Sergei was changed. He was a different person. And God has continued to work on Sergei's heart and change him. Now Sergei, he goes with me every Friday to different orphanages and he teaches the Bible. In fact, there's a kid at the orphanage that he won't let me leave unless he gets a photo with Sergei. And I probably have about 300 of those photos now on my phone. That was 2004 that Sergei first came to the camp, and it was about 10 years after that that the war began in Ukraine. And those American teams that came for camp wouldn't be able to come that summer. And as we thought about whether or not we had to cancel our camp, I remember the first person I called was Sergei and said, "Hey, Sergei, how would you like to be a camp counselor? And we would do camp with Ukrainian volunteers this year." Well, Sergei said yes. And he proceeded to call about 8 other former campers, asking them if they would be camp counselors as well. So it's amazing for me now to see Sergei every summer get to be a camp counselor and teach the Bible to other children with special needs. But in 2014, that first year he got to be camp counselor, we had a young girl come to camp with diabetes and some other health problems. Her name is Nata. And I can remember during that week of camp learning more about her and her family and just the struggle that it is for children with diabetes in Ukraine, that often even the hospitals will run out of insulin, and it becomes very hard for these families to help take care of their children. And Nada, during that week of camp, as she saw Sergei and other campers, former campers, being the leaders and teachers, she told me that it was her dream that one day she would get to be a camp counselor. Well, this last summer, Nata, her wish came true. She got to be a camp counselor. She even helped interpret for the sending place team at our first camp. But what I want to share with you about Nata is what she said to me just about a month ago, just before I left to come here. We were having our church service, and after church service, we were having coffee and tea and cookies, and I was asking people to share what they were thankful for because it was Thanksgiving week. And I was humbled when Nada shared, because she said, "I'm thankful to God for my diabetes. Because of my diabetes, I got to come to camp and become a part of this family. Because of my diabetes, I got switched into a different school, and in that school is where I've met all of my best friends." And I just remember being blown away, the maturity in this young woman being able to thank God for these hardships in her life, because she's seen how God has made a difference even with those difficulties. I learned from Nata that day. That is discipleship. That is God's message being proclaimed and making a difference in people's lives. And it's the greatest privilege for me to see God work through Sergei, God work through Nata. It was especially amazing this camp we had this year. Maybe had some of the biggest hurts that we've ever had amongst our campers. My wife Lena came to me. She goes to a Bible study, and she told me she met a woman who had come to the Bible study. She had remembered reading about her in the newspaper. Her son at 16 years old was shot in the head by a family friend. And it left him unable to speak. It left him in a wheelchair. And this woman had come to the Bible study, and Lena was telling me as she shared about just all the difficulties she was having taking care of her son, Jan. Well, I said, "Well, we need to call them and talk to them, because Jan needs to come to our camp." Jan got to spend a week having Sergei and Nada and our team just pour out love on him. It was amazing to see. By the end of the week, he asked Jan how he's doing. Even if he couldn't speak, he would give a big thumbs up and a big smile. And when we played our worship songs, and he would just be as excited as anybody at the camp. We had a young girl who had been kidnapped and been missing for 8 months before she was miraculously found. We had one young family, their daughter Anya was left for dead by the doctors. She was born so premature. Even though she was breathing, they said, oh, we can't help her. She's just a fetus. And they wouldn't even let her parents give her a name. And when they were crying, because the doctors weren't doing anything, the doctor turned to her and said, why are you crying? Just have another child. That is some of the hurt that these families are dealing with. And to see God stretch and work through the sending place teams, the Ukrainian camp volunteers, it's amazing to see the difference the light of Christ can make in someone's life. It's amazing to see what God can accomplish. And my encouragement to you is to find what's that role that God has for you in making a difference and discipling those that God has put in your life, whether it's at work or it's at school or if it's someone in the pew next to you today. That message, that hope that Jesus is the Savior can make a difference. I'll just close with this story. I was blessed to be able to go on vacation with my family in Mexico. And one of the fun things we got to do was zip lining. And I thought that was pretty brave until my grandma also did it. So I didn't feel as... But after zip lining, we got to go swimming in a cenote, which is a kind of a underground cave. And there was water in the cave, and they had all these beautiful stalactites that were hanging. And as you swim in it, it's just absolutely beautiful to look below and see all these, fish and creatures swimming below you and these beautiful stalactites. And I can remember being with my family and swimming and just being utterly amazed. And then all of a sudden, bam, I smacked my head right into one of the stalactites. I found the secret to swimming in a cenote is you kind of had to keep your eyes halfway above the water to make sure you weren't going to swim into anything. And I found the yacht women were very good at this. The yacht men were not. We all came out like bloody and bumped. But as I thought about that, it really reminded me of what we read in Colossians chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not earthly things. God has created this beautiful world and He's placed us in this world. And it is good that we enjoy this world and the beauty of it, just like in that cenote. But at the same time, we want to keep our hearts on heavenly things and not forget what God has called us to do. To be His angels, to be those messengers proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. To be the ones that are loving others and serving others and putting them first just as our Lord Jesus Christ did. So my encouragement to you, be the voice telling people about Jesus. Because if not, how will they hear if no one tells them? Amen? Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much, Lord, that You did send those angels to proclaim that good news, that Christ the Savior was born, and Jesus sent His disciples to go and proclaim the good news of salvation in Jesus alone, Lord, to the ends of the earth. And Lord, that we get to join in proclaiming that good news. Lord, we thank You for the difference that You've made in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, strengthen us to go and boldly proclaim that good news to make a difference with others. In Jesus' name, amen.